Hi, welcome to Standlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Standlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think this week there are two important topics to have a look at. The first is South Africa's inflation data for the month of October. The information was released last week and there was a clear or a further surprise to the downside. So South Africa's inflation numbers remain encouraging, and that fed into the Reserve Bank's unanimous decision to cut interest rates 25 basis points. The second topic is a look at the US's delayed September employment report. The report should have come out some time ago, but obviously delayed because of the US government shutdown. And I think it has some important elements that help to inform the likely decision from the US Federal Reserve when they meet on the 10th of December. There's been a significant adjustment in the outlook for US interest rates, or the near-term outlook for US interest rates. So I think those two topics are probably what's most topical in terms of the financial markets. I'm not going to talk specifically about the G20 meeting and the outcome. Obviously, it was covered extensively in the press and during the event. To the credit of South Africa, there was a declaration signed by the members that attended, and that declaration covers many different topics and is fairly long in nature. But unfortunately, it lacks some of the specifics required to see action implemented or changes made to try and improve some of the issues that were identified within the declaration. So the declaration has good intent, but unfortunately you can't take the document and say this is what is going to be implemented over any particular time frame. So I'm not going to go through that in detail. The declaration is available generally on many websites and can be easily downloaded. So we'll just stick to what's happening in South Africa's inflation and interest rates, and then a look at US employment and their outlook for interest rates. So let's start off with a discussion with South Africa's inflation rate for the month of October. If we look at both headline and core inflation, they went up by only 0.1% in the month. That was below expectations. Most people were thinking it would go up 0.2%. What that did to the annual rate of inflation was, yes, it pushed the headline rate of inflation up a bit further to 3.6%. But if you consider that a couple of months ago, there was a concern that by now South Africa's inflation rate would be up at over 4%, it's not a bad outcome. In fact, when we listened to the Reserve Bank's conference call after the interest rate meeting, they indicated that their own inflation forecast for this month was for inflation to rise to 3.8%, so beating the Reserve Bank's inflation forecast to the downside. Core inflation moderated on an annual basis from 3.2 to 3.1%, so you would say the underlying level of inflation remains well under control. If we break down the inflation data, there weren't really any major increases in the month that are worth mentioning. And in terms of food inflation, there was actually a decline. And in the last 3 months, for each of those months, food inflation has fallen. And clearly, food inflation less of a problem at the moment. There was a phase for about 4 or 5 months where we were more concerned about an upward bias in food inflation caused by meat prices, which reflected the impact of foot and mouth disease. But that appears to have dissipated at this stage. So we're less anxious about food inflation. And then clearly in terms of the currency, that's helping the oil price, not too bad, local petrol price. We're still going to see a further benefit of lower fuel prices over the next couple of months. So that seems to be helping. We're also importing deflation from China. So if I look at things like clothing prices, appliances, furniture, all of those items, very subdued. So there's actually very little sign of any significant inflationary pressure. Having said that, though, we've obviously still got administered prices remaining elevated. So the price of medical aid, I think that sits at 10.6%. So that's significantly above the 6% historical inflation target. And then if we look at things like electricity and water, also fairly elevated. So it's not as if we don't have that ongoing problem. We do. But in terms of the core of consumer goods reflected in retail stores, those numbers, I think, remain fairly subdued. And there is quite a wide element of services that are reasonably under control. So clearly that fed into the Reserve Bank's decision to cut interest rates 25 basis points. They've cut interest rates so far during this cycle by 150 basis points. That's a decent reduction in terms of interest rates. It's not massive, but it starts to help on a cumulative basis. The Reserve Bank keeps saying that interest rates are slightly restrictive, but clearly they're following a fairly cautious approach to any further reductions in interest rates, simply because they are adamant on trying to achieve the 3% inflation target by 2027. You would say so far we've made excellent progress in getting towards that target, and clearly as the inflation rates remain low, it's helping to shape inflation expectations, and that's the most important element in ensuring that inflation remains well under control. If we look at the QPM, the quarterly projection model from the Reserve Bank, that is factoring in two interest rate cuts next year, two cuts of 25 basis points. So that's what the Reserve Bank's own forecast model suggests. That doesn't mean that that's what they're going to do, but it gives you a reference point on the sort of interest rate cut expectation that is ahead of us. I think the Reserve Bank will try and move interest rates lower next year, very cautiously. And if it becomes clear that we are in a position to sustainably achieve our 3% inflation goal, then yes, we're going to see a significant further reduction in interest rates. And then I think hopefully we start to incur the benefit of changing the inflation target. But I think that is some time away, and the Reserve Bank is not going to want to declare victory too early and then find that inflation moves too far away from the 3% goal, and they have to then respond in terms of higher interest rates. So I think the Reserve Bank will adopt a cautious approach. If inflation continues to surprise on the downside, they'll give us that benefit in terms of a further reduction in interest rates, but ultimately the Reserve Bank is not going to want to give up on the progress they've made so far in ensuring that they are able to change South Africa's inflation rate on a sustainable basis. The second topic is a look at the latest US employment numbers as well as the outlook for US interest rates. The Bureau of Labor Statistics released the September employment report last week. If you remember, that report was actually supposed to be out a couple of weeks ago, but it was delayed because of the US government shutdown. So this is effectively a catch-up report. If I look at the detail on the face of it, it looked good, right? The US created 119,000 jobs in the month. That beat expectations. The market was thinking the US would only create 53,000 jobs. So it initially gave a feel that the US labor market is reasonably strong. However, when you look at the detail contained in the report, it's less convincing. The unemployment rate went up to 4.4% and generally has been moving higher in recent months. And it wasn't long ago that Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, indicated that if the unemployment rate reached 4.5%, that would be a signal that the labor market has softened appreciably. So we're not far away from the 4.5%. In addition, the previous 2 months employment data was revised lower by a combined 33,000 jobs. So to give you some sense of what that means is that if we look at the August report, initially it said that the US had created 22,000 jobs. Now with the revisions in mind, it turns out the US had actually lost 4,000 jobs. That's a meaningful change in your feeling around the strength or the underlying strength of the US labor market. And it's entirely feasible that the 119,000 jobs that we saw for September, that may also be revised lower. In addition, if I look at the breakdown of that 119,000 jobs, it's less convincing. By that I mean most of the jobs were created in non-cyclical sectors, so things like healthcare, education, which isn't necessarily a reflection of economic strength. It's more a reflection of what's happening to the demographics and the aging of the population. Whereas if we look at some of the cyclical sectors, I was looking particularly at the manufacturing sector, the US manufacturing sectors actually lost jobs every month for the last 5 months. And that would suggest that there's weakness developing in the industrial base of the US. And there are other sectors where the US is either struggling to add jobs or actually losing jobs. And clearly that gives us a different sense of what's happening to the US labor market. And it feels to me that there's a distinct softening or weakness going on that may well become more pronounced. By that we mean, if you start to get outright job losses for the entire economic system, there could be a tendency for that to start to feed on itself. As you get some job losses, it feeds into a slowdown of economic activity, which then results in further job losses. And so it can become self-reinforcing. And once that happens, then you have the risk of moving into a recession. So now the Federal Reserve needs to take that into account when they make the interest rate decision. It wasn't long ago that the Federal Reserve had an approach that said, well, the economy is doing okay. We worried about inflation because of the higher import tariffs. So what we're going to do is adopt a wait-and-see approach to interest rates. And what they were trying to ascertain was, are the tariffs going to feed into higher prices? And that seemed to be okay for a while. But then the labor market started to soften, and the tone of the Federal Reserve changed appreciably. Instead of focusing on inflation, what the Federal Reserve then focused on was the weakness in the labor market and the risk that that pushes the entire economy a lot weaker or potentially even into a recession. And so they started to then speed up interest rate reductions in response to the weakness in the labor market. More recently, because of the US government shutdown, we've had a lack of information, and that lack of information was feeding into a narrative from the Federal Reserve that said, while we don't have clarity, we need to just put interest rates on hold. In other words, we don't want to make a decision in the absence of important economic data. But the latest employment report on Friday suggests that maybe the labor market is continuing to soften, and therefore it has created some concern that the Federal Reserve needs to continue to cut interest rates in order to avoid a further softening of the labor market. And so the expectations on a possible interest rate cut in December, which is the next FOMC meeting, has oscillated considerably. At some point, there was an expectation or an absolute certainty, if you like, that the US Fed would cut rates on the 10th of December. That was around, I would say, the end of October. That was a strong expectation. But then as the US government shutdown materialized and there was a lack of data being made available, that expectation softened eventually to around 30%, where people thought, well, because of this lack of economic data, the Fed's simply going to keep interest rates on hold. Following the release of the employment report last week, that expectation shot up to 70% chance of an interest rate cut. And so you can get a sense of the markets moving around quite considerably to try and get a sense of what is the likelihood that the Fed will continue to cut. Let's say the Fed doesn't cut in December. What does that signal? In my mind, all that signals is that it's a pause in the interest rate cutting cycle. In other words, I wouldn't interpret it as the Fed saying, that's it, we've done, we're not going to cut interest rates anymore. I think you're going to see more cuts in interest rates, possibly another 100 basis points during the current cycle. And what you're really debating is the timing of those interest rate cuts. At this stage, I guess you would just simply say, well, there's a possibility they cut 25 basis points in December. I think it is going to be a fairly close call, but let's go with that idea that they cut 25 basis points in December. Then next year, you would factor in another 50 to 75 basis points of interest rate reductions, and then think that, okay, they're now at a neutral level, and then from there, they would be looking to keep interest rates on hold. The situation is obviously going to be complicated by a change in the chairman of the Fed. Jerome Powell leaves that position in May next year, and then obviously the president of the US would have to announce a new chairman. We think that will be announced either late this year or early next year, and then clearly whoever takes over as chairman of the Fed, that will start to change the feel around monetary policy in the US. But I think on the face of it, you would factor in from here going forward 100 basis points of interest rate cuts, and then debate the timing of that 100 basis points. But you would, I think, still factor in the idea that by the time you get to the end of next year, you will be at the bottom of the interest rate cycle, and then you would be hoping that they can keep that interest rate unchanged for a considerable time, and hope at the same time that inflation systematically moderates down closer to the 2% level. I'm not convinced it's going to get down to that 2% level, but I think if it got to around 2.5%, I think the Fed would be ultimately reasonably comfortable with that as a longer term outlook. So I think at this stage, there are a couple of key things we need to watch: the strength of the US economy, any further feed through from tariffs into US inflation, and then obviously the timing of US interest rate cuts. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Standard Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.